I was praying away, and I got this urgency from the Holy Spirit to stop and turn on the radio and start praising Him. I said, okay, you got it. And I just started praising the Lord, and the song it was on was God of the Breakthrough. Spirit wanted me to hear that He's the God of the breakthrough. Many of us need breakthroughs in our lives. And it's just a reminder to all of us, I am the God of the breakthrough. Whether it be a financial thing, or whether it be a relational thing, or whether it be a physical thing. God of the breakthrough. Take that, claim that, speak that over whatever breakthrough you need. Say, Lord, you're God of this breakthrough. So, encourage you.
Thank you, Mike. Is this on? Sounds like it. We're going to change it up a little bit today. So the praise team, we're going to invite the praise team back in a few minutes when I run out of gas. Not really. Thank you, New Beginnings, for being here. We've had weather and issues the past weeks and months. When I came this morning, I had a spirit of heaviness, I'll be frank, which I don't like to bring to church. But I recalled the scripture tells us that when there's a spirit of heaviness, put on the garment of praise, and it happened. Wow, it took two numbers, praise team, but it's mostly gone. Wow. Singing is kind of my thing. I can remember when my parents took me to singing school. I mean, I was a young teenager. Like, why would they do that? We went to Mastersonville to the elementary school there and had a teacher come and share with us how to sing. Anyway, that's been part of my life. I've been across much of the U.S. in praise teams, men's quartets, college choirs, been in a lot of different states, and I love to sing. So that speaks to my heart. Like, pardon? Do you want to come sing, Chuck, or? Uh-oh.
You can do it.
If you'd like to follow, we're going to look at a few verses in James this morning. I'm looking at the first chapter, probably verses 2 to 8. This will be out of a translation that's not as yours reads. Consider it a sure gift, friends. When tests and challenges come at you from all sides, you know that under pressure your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get His help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. People who worry their prayers, that's from parentheses, worry their prayers, are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the Master that way. Drift at sea, keeping all your options open. During the month of Thanksgiving, my wife and I drove to Michigan to meet with our daughter and Dave and the two boys for a week. We went to Turnpike, and about 3 hours after traveling, we stopped at, and you've all probably experienced this, we stopped at one of the Turnpike rest stops and went into the place to pay for our gas, and on the wall is a map that says, you are here. Have you been there? You are here. It's a pretty long map, and it goes, in this case, it went from Philadelphia to Pittsburgh, and I think we were like at Somerset. I thought, there must be a sermon in that. You are here. How could we use that? And you know, when I saw that you are here, I went, duh. First, I was glad to know that I was like 2 hours into my trip. That was the good part. And then I said, yeah, you're telling me I'm here? If I wasn't here, I wouldn't be reading that. Besides that, if I wouldn't be here, I'd be elsewhere. But let me suggest to you, New Beginnings people, that you are here. you are here. I don't mean that, I mean this, but I mean more than this. You're more than here at 19 Wolf Street, Manheim, Pennsylvania. Yeah, you're here. You're here, but more than that, let me share a little bit of ways in which I think we might be here. One of my go-to books in the Bible is James. James is so, I like James because he's so practical. I like, when people can share their faith with me in something that happened to them today or yesterday, I love that, because I can relate to that. But James is just a little bit too hard on me this morning, or this week, as I studied James. So I went a little deeper than what James is saying. I mean, James, if you look at the head titles in your Bible for James, it goes things like, you have two ears and one mouth. Like, what? That's message. It talks about act of what you hear. I mean, things to avoid. I don't know what your titles look like, but the tongue is a fire. Anyway, so James kind of gets in your face. And there's sometimes I need to know that. I need for that to happen. James particularly wants the way you talk to match with the way you walk. And he gets serious about that. James really gets down into the deep and dirty stuff in our lives. He works in the area of our lives that we think nobody knows about. Oh, my. So he does. It didn't seem to me like that would be a good thing to talk about. So I'm going to look at some of the things that I think James is building his advice to us off of, or his wisdom. I think another way to say, to look at analyzing James would be that if you say you believe like you should, then why do you behave like you shouldn't? If you say you believe like you should, then why do you behave like you shouldn't? Now, that's poor English, but it seems like that's where James comes out. Now, this James is likely, according to some people, the brother of, or actually the half-brother of Jesus, which means that in this case, they both had the same mother, but Jesus was born. You know, you got that. And Jesus, this is in my pay scale, but Jesus had sisters. You know that? So James and Jesus were brothers. So let me share some of the things that I think, and these are some of the favorite scriptures in my life, what James is intending when he is saying that if we believe what we think we should. And I'm going to put this in kind of different language, but this is how it comes to me. You are what you eat. Oh boy, are we going to go there? This might sound frivolous, but let me go with this. Maybe you've said this to your kids, trying to get them to eat their asparagus or their vegetables or their green stuff. But there's scientific truth behind this, because if you look at the studies about people that only eat at McDonald's, you discover that if you only eat hamburgers and pizza and wash that down with Pepsi and Coke, that you're probably going to be very eligible person for diabetes, or you'll probably gain weight. That's probably what will happen. On the other hand, if your diet includes things like chicken, and I'm not promoting things here, no, I'm just making, and fish and vegetables, and you drink plenty of water, your chances are that your weight will probably be, your weight will be reduced. That's simple. I'm not promoting, Mike. But what you eat applies to the things that you put into your mouth, but it also applies to what you put into your mind and your spirit. I want you to get this, and I think that James was saying this. The advertising industry is built on kind of this premise, that you serve up a certain kind of diet with images and feelings and advertisements, and you know that those products will sell. You can give me a lot of illustrations of that. Harley Davidson CEO would say that we don't sell motorcycles. What we sell is the ability for a 43-year-old man to drive through a small town dressed in a black leather jacket and have people be afraid of him. You think, well, is this right or not? So the Harley people are appealing to the part of us, or to the part of men that wants to be cool. They're selling a lifestyle. No. But God is concerned about what we put into our hearts and into our minds. Paul writes in Romans 2 or 12:2, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God renew your mind. So be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew mind? How do you transform your life? I think you transform your life by changing your spiritual diet. One of the fun places on the farm at Sean and Lars is in the Quail. Now, in the Quail, we have a radio that plays either K-Love or JTL. And I find people going out in and out of the Quail barn quite often, and sometimes they go, it isn't me, sometimes they go in there and there's no chores that they do. They go in there just because there's music playing there, Christian music, and that, you know that? In a person's day, if your days are up and down, that can be a game changer. What we put into our minds can transform us. Now, I don't know if it's Pepsis or hamburgers that you're putting into your mind. Obviously, you aren't doing that, but so be careful. We know that God is righteous and perfect and holy. That's God's standard. But Romans 3:23 says, we have all sinned and fall short of God's perfection, God's holiness, and the righteousness of God. Unlike humankind, God operates from a different level of expectation. 1 Peter 1:16 says, or talks about God's words spoken through Moses when he said, be holy because I am holy. Whoever hopes to relate to God must be as righteous as God is righteous. Oh my. To relate to me, you don't have to be perfect. And as a matter of fact, if you act like you are perfect, I get very uncomfortable. Just be who you are. But God isn't like that. To say it differently, perfection requires matching perfection. So here's the rub. We all have sinned and fall short of the perfection of God. Don't misunderstand. There are times when our goodness is really surprising. We may even surprise ourselves with moments like of gentleness and compassion. But perfect, never. Holy, hardly. Pure, nope. Only God can do these things. So we are sinners by birth, sinners by nature, and sinners, sometimes sinners by choice. We're trying to establish a relationship with the holy God who made us, and we fall short and can't make it. There is no way that we can work up enough goodness to match God's righteousness. No way. So what do we need? This is a simple lesson. We know this. We need help from outside of ourselves. We need help from another source so we can relate to a God who is perfect. The Bible says God is light, and in him there is no darkness. This is from 1 John 1:5. We need someone to rescue us, someone to be our redeemer, our substitute. God provided Jesus Christ as our Savior. His death on the cross was payment for our sin. It wiped out the debt. That is great news. You and I need to be washed. We need to be clean. But there's more. And this is a favorite thing of mine. I love this. And I learned it this way, that the righteousness of Jesus is imputed unto us. We don't use imputed in our language anymore. But I like that image. The righteousness, the perfectness of Jesus is put on us. Wow. Romans 3:24 says, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And from Romans 3:22, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus to all who believe. It means, what does it mean to be declared righteous? It's an act of God giving us a righteous status while still in a sinning condition. That's a wow moment when that happens. He sees us in our need, hopelessly lost and unable to escape the swamp of sin. He sees us looking to Jesus and trusting him by faith to cleanse us from our sin. Though we come to him with all our needs and in all of our darkness, God says, "You're declared righteous. You're forgiven." Salvation is a gift. It's simple, but it isn't easy. It wasn't easy. It's free, but it wasn't cheap. It's yours, but it isn't automatic. You must receive it. Thank God for his grace and his righteousness being put on us. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the plan of salvation. And so continue to lead us, Father, in our lives, and we honor you today as we worship. In your name we pray. Amen.
This morning, as far as not doing children's stories, so I had prepared a children's story. Thought, well, I'll just use it later, no problem. But I have to share part of my children's story with you just because of Barry's message. The Old Testament teaches us what happens if we don't cut off bad influences in our lives. They will never leave us alone, and they will always be a snare for us. Some of you may need to cut some ties in your life. Maybe it's a so-called friend who's a bad influence, or maybe it's a habit. Only then will you be free from the temptations that are holding you down. And I did not know what Barry was preaching on today.
Isaiah 9:7 says, "Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." And Luke 1:33 says, "And he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end."
Let's pray. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. It's nothing that we do. Lord, we just invite you to build your kingdom here. The angel Gabriel said this over Jesus 2,000 years ago. "Jesus, we believe that you still reign as king today. Build your kingdom here again. Praise your name."
Like wildfire in our veins. doing this morning, but as we were singing the first set of songs, the idea came to me. I was going to say how old Barry and I are, but many years ago, probably at least 30, we were in charge of a weekend retreat sort of thing, and the last thing that we did, which was most of the evening, on the Saturday evening of that conference, I'm sorry I don't have the... If I had known all of this, I would have suggested to Barry that we bring our props along. But when we entered the building that night, we were each given a stone. And nobody knew what it was for, but we each had a stone. And then as it got towards the end of the speech, sermon, whatever it was, we were instructed that we had each been given a stone. And here sets a bucket. And over here is a large loaf of bread that I had baked. It was homemade bread. I had baked it, and it would you could pull it apart really easily. So our instructions were, if you have something against anyone in this room, I don't care how old or how young, if you have something against anybody in here, will you please come up, drop your stone, get a piece of bread, and take that piece of bread and take it to that person. Break the bread in half. You keep half. That person, you give that person their half of that bread. And you sit down. And you talk right now. And if there are numerous people here that you need to talk to, do that. But I challenge you, we don't have the stones and we don't have the bread. This church needs a healing. You may know that and you may not know that. There's healing that needs to come within this church. It might be somebody in this room or hasn't been here this morning, or maybe it's a relative or somebody that you know. We need to do that. And I challenge you this morning, don't leave until you have at least made an attempt to make things right. And maybe it'll take more than this morning, probably will. But make that more important than putting the chairs away. Or seeing that the coffee pot is in the right place. Do you hear what the Lord is saying?
Surrounding, there's nothing fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows.
Thank you.
never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. Never runs out on me.
Stronger than the power of the grave. Lord, you are constant in all trials and all change, because, Lord, one thing remains, and that one thing that remains is you. Thank you for being constant, for being consistent, just for being you. Lord, we thank you for the strength, for the perseverance, for the love, and the guidance. Thank you that we do not have to fear. Thank you, Lord, that you are never changing and you are unending. Thank you, God, for being you. Amen.
Oh my word, is it loud? It is crazy.